Hello and happy Thursday to you. Glad you've joined us on Grace in Focus. By the way, my name is Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, on today's episode, we're going to talk about this interesting question because we're taking questions from listeners just like you. Today's question is repent a military word? And as if that isn't enough to cover, we're also going to cover this question, how are repent and believe related in the book of Acts? So it is sure to be an interesting discussion. So let's jump right to it with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're taking your questions on the Bible and theology. We love being kind of a resource for you to access. Send us your questions. You don't usually get to ask these types of questions in a church or to your pastor or even to your Bible study leaders, and we're happy to play that role with you guys. Be sure, though, to go to our website, faithalone.org, because we have thousands of resources, articles and videos and audio that will probably address a lot of the questions that you have and will provoke new ones for you. Here's a question, for example, from Chet. He says, a former pastor said in a sermon that the New Testament word repent was a military term and meant about face. I have looked in my resources and have not found support for repent as about face. But this week on a podcast, Dr. Barnhouse and the Bible, Dr. Barnhouse made the same assertion. Have you ever seen support for that meaning of repent?
I have not. Now, the Old Testament, I wrote my dissertation on repentance at Dallas Seminary. Part of it is I discussed the Old Testament use of repentance.
Yeah.
And the Old Testament word was shuv. It sounds like in English it's S-H-O-E-V or something, but it's really S-H-U-B or S-H-U-V, and we pronounce it shuv. And it means simply to turn or return. So it was often used in the Old Testament to say someone went out and then returned. And it was used of armies. The army went out, the army turned back.
Okay.
So did it have some military uses? Sure. If you're beating a retreat, that would be turning, right? But it's not particularly a military term. It just meant literally to turn. And then sometimes it had a metaphorical use to spiritually turn, like turning to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In the New Testament, the word for repentance that's normally translated repentance is not the word for turn, but it's the words metanoia, which means to repent or change your mind, or metanoia. And the word that comes over from shuv, the Hebrew, is various strepho words, epistrepho, apostrepho, and those basically mean to turn or to turn toward or something along those lines. Those are related words to repentance, but typically they're not the key words for repentance.
So there's what you're saying is there's a strong dictionary meaning of turning.
Right.
But whether that was like a specifically a military term about face, that might be something that was preachable, but not necessarily true.
Well, I may be wrong. I may have forgotten, but I don't recall it being particularly a military term. And, you know, lots of times what people preach is not necessarily what can be validated. I think the fact that couldn't find it is pretty telling.
Right. All right, here's a question from Lance. And Lance says, I was reading in Acts 3 and 4, where Peter addressed the people of Israel in 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Then chapter 4:4 says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Peter didn't mention believing in 3:19, but said they believed in 4:4. What did they believe?
Okay, this is a very good point. Why don't we start with 3:19 and then come over to 4:4 in Acts? 3:19 is what is typically called one of the reoffers of the kingdom. You want to read that one, Sean?
Sure. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance. That means killing Jesus.
Right.
As did also your rulers. But those, and that seems very charitable to me.
Right, right.
I don't know if they were totally ignorant, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.
Okay, now there's multiple things to notice there, and I think in Acts 3:19 the word converted is from epistrepho, okay, to be turned back to the Lord. I'm looking as we speak in my... Yeah, repent is metanoeo, and be converted is epistrepho, be turned back. And by the way, this could be repent, even be turned back, or... this could be two different things. Mm. You have the question, but I believe what he's calling for is the national repentance of Israel so that your sins may be blotted out. The issue here is not so that they would be born again. The blotting out of sins, I take it, refers to the coming of the kingdom for Israel. Remember in Matthew 1:21, Mary was told and Joseph was told that he will save his people from their sins?
Right.
Well, the his people is Israel.
Okay.
And the consequences of their sins are that Israel went into exile, the temple was destroyed,
yeah,
and not until 1948 did Israel come back, and
right,
Israel is still not the sovereign nation that controls the world.
Right.
It will be when Messiah returns.
Right.
And so I take it that sins blotted out refers to so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord clearly refers to Messiah establishing his kingdom.
So this would be what is elsewhere called the gospel of the kingdom.
Correct.
Which we've talked about in other shows.
Exactly. So what verse 19 is doing is reoffering the kingdom to the nation of Israel. Notice verse 20. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since the world began.
And the time of restoration, that is the kingdom.
That's the millennial kingdom, yeah. That's what's going on there. Now, when you get over to 4:4, these are not actually the words of Peter. These are the words of Luke.
Right.
And this is a statement here about people who came to faith in Christ. However, many of those who heard the word believed. What they believed is the word, but the word is concerning Jesus. And if you look in the previous context, he preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So basically, I would say this is the message of everlasting life.
Well, could this be like the John 11:25 to 26 type message?
Right.
That's the famous conversation that Jesus has with Martha. This isn't just a random resurrection from the dead. This is the resurrection of the dead that Jesus promised. And this is what he said to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? It seems likely to me that when Luke says they preach the resurrection of the dead and they're arguing with the Sadducees about this, probably they were saying, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to have this eternal life and you're going to be raised from the dead, etc.
Right, right. This is the resurrection of glorification, the resurrection of those who are justified by faith in Christ.
Right.
And so when he says they believed, this is believing that message, but ultimately it's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for their eternal destiny, because this is a sort of a summary statement to say that 5,000 men came to faith on that occasion. Not just people, men. We don't know how many women and children came to faith.
Right.
And so it's a lot of people, and they were born again. So Lance's point, I think, he's asking, is the repentance in 3:19 different than the believing in Acts 4:4? And the answer is absolutely. The repentance is looking for national repentance, that the kingdom might come, the times of restoration, the time of refreshing. And actually, in 4:4, it's talking about individuals. Now, there were 5,000 of these individuals,
right,
but these individuals believe. We're not told whether they repented or not.
Right.
We are told they believe.
So how do you see the relationship between these two messages, John 11:25 to 26 type message, and the gospel of the kingdom type message.
They go together. In order for any individual Jew to be born again and guaranteed they will be in the kingdom, they have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and that he promises them eternal life.
And Jesus says that to Nicodemus, right?
Right.
In order to see the kingdom, you need to be born again.
Right. And in order to be born again, you must believe in the Son of Man, the Son of God.
Once that's true of you, now the second
message. Now the second message is national in scope, and it's calling for the national deliverance of Israel by repentance and faith.
Right.
And at the end of the tribulation, 100% of the surviving adult Jews will be born again and in fellowship with God. They will be people who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and they have repented of their sins. Yeah. And so they will be walking in fellowship with God. Well, it's not just Jews. Also, 100% of the adult Gentiles who are believers mm-hmm. will be faithful. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Israel, it's going to be different because there will be no unbelieving Jews. Mm. God's going to take the lives of all the unbelieving Jews so that by the end of the tribulation, the only unbelieving Jews would be babies and children. But if they're adults, they're going to be believers. And in the Gentiles, we know from Matthew 25, 31 to 46, that they'll be judged and that the believers will all have been faithful. And the unbelievers, of course, will be people who did not treat Jesus' Jewish brethren well. But the point is, this is going to be a special time. And at the end of the tribulation, the nation will meet the requirements of repentance and faith, and the times of refreshing and restoration will come then.
So you need to be born again in order to see the kingdom. Then the nation needs to repent as a nation before the kingdom comes. And it's significant, even though 5,000 men believed, and who knows how many women and children, the kingdom didn't come.
Right, because that wasn't national.
But one day it will happen.
Yes, it
will.
One
day it will.
And we're looking forward to that.
We definitely are.
Now, we won't be in the tribulation, but we'll be watching from the sky, and we'll be swooping down at the end of the 7 years with Jesus and his angelic army. If you like that, read the Left Behind series or read some of our articles at faithalone.org.
Thanks for those questions. Keep them coming at radio@faithalone.org. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what it means to be a disciple in isolation. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.